You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
It's me, Joe. Welcome to episode 8 of That's Awesome. Thank you for coming back. I'm sitting here with Josh now, and we did everything today. So today we interviewed Dan Sugarman, who is my roommate, one of my best friends, and guitar player in Ice Nine Kills, who joined at the same time as me. So I don't even really know what we talked about. Josh, what did we talk about? We did some history stuff.
Yeah. Your favorite questions fans ask you.
Oh, we talked about horror movies because that's fun. Yeah, we did that. We, go into some pretty funny stories. Actually, one of like the crazier tour stories I've ever heard, not necessarily like super funny, but, pretty nuts. Like, I'd heard that story a few times, but sitting down and hearing it in detail was like kind of crazy.
Yeah, that was a wild story.
Yeah, so I think people will enjoy that. So make sure you stick to the end or at least fast forward to the end. It involves more bands than you would guess in it. It's pretty nuts. With me, what's been going on with you this week?
Nothing. I don't do anything.
I feel like I'm starting to like my updates are getting repetitive because I've been busy, but I've been kind of doing the same things the whole time, you know?
Yeah.
But I will say there is some news coming up with the podcast soon that I am extremely excited about. I'm very excited about a bunch of the guests coming on in the next few weeks. I think things are going really well. So I'm pretty pumped on it. If I'm going to get personal about what's going on in my life, I'm getting stressed out again about coronavirus because LA is like another hotspot now. I just read that the last 2 days they broke the single day record for new infections in California, 2 days in a row.
Dang, dude.
Super sick. So, people just need to stop being so relaxed about the whole thing. Like, I know it's frustrating, and I'm guilty of it, even like going out more than I should. But people going to bars and stuff. Like,
it's people crazy. Just like decided after 3 months of quarantine, they're bored of it and they're done. The pandemic's over because they're sick of sitting at home.
Yeah, I know. How is it where you are? Are people smarter?
It's a little better, but I live right by Chicago, so it's kind of the same thing where big city, everyone just gives up after a while.
I know. Well, you know, what's weird is like, I was talking to my dad this morning and like the Northeast is doing really well and that's where I moved from. Like it's continuing to go down and down and down. And we're not doing great. I think it was Australia the other day said they had 3 new cases.
Dang.
Yeah, I read an article that was like the rest of the world is pissed off at the U.S. for just like giving up completely.
Oh, yeah.
So that's fun.
Go United States.
Dude,
always
I just like
ahead of the
want
game.
To tour. Like I want to play shows. So it's a little more personal to me when I see people out being like, dude, you don't get it. Like I can't. I think a lot of people can't work, but like, I don't know. I just don't. Yeah. I want to play music for people.
Yeah. I just saw something about them. They're thinking about replacing the mist at concerts with Lysol, basically.
Oh,
like antibacterial mist.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Let's dive into some music stuff, because I was I want to do more of this at the beginning, kind of go through some news or some things, and I honestly didn't prepare as much, but the one thing I did read was about Live Nation. And for those of you that don't know, Live Nation is if not the biggest, one of the largest promoter companies, I think, in the world. So any House of Blues that you go to, those are Live Nation shows. So they're the people that put on the shows and everything. Live Nation, due to coronavirus and the amount of strain they've been under, because obviously there's no events happening, next year has just straight up, they released an announcement to every agent, every booking agent, that was like, all guarantees are coming down 20% next year. And There's some new restrictions as well, where if you cancel the show within 24 hours of the show, you owe Live Nation double what you were supposed to be paid.
Ooh, geez.
Or something like that. Which, I mean,
yeah.
I get it. I don't ever want to be the band that cancels a show the day before the show. That's rough, though. That can tank a tour. If someone gets sick and you have to cancel it, that's rough. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
Yeah, Maddie was talking about last week having to play drums because they kicked the drummer out. They tried to cancel it, and no, you can't afford that.
No, it's really and to not only cancel to not be paid, but it's you cancel and then you have to pay them the last two nights that you got paid. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's crazy. So I think I'm interested to see if ticket prices will go up or if artists are just going to eat it, or who knows. It'll be interesting. So that's cool. More good news. That's all I had. And then there was, usually we would, I imagine in the future, we'll be able to talk about a lot of tours that are being announced. And hopefully some albums that are coming out and stuff, but which there'll probably be a ton of. But for now, we'll just wrap it up. Unless you have anything else to add, Josh?
No.
Good?
I'm good.
Yeah, let's just wrap it up and send it over to Dan. I just want to do a quick reminder again. If you are enjoying what you hear and you want to support my friends and the podcast, you can donate to it at paypal.me/ that's awesome pod. And we'll obviously post that on our socials. If you haven't followed us on socials, by the way, make sure you do too. Everything's at that's awesome pod. Rate and subscribe, all the fun stuff that you're supposed to say, and we'll send it to Dan. This is the beginning, by the way.
Oh, it's already happened.
Oh, yeah, we're starting.
We're
this
in.
This is in the podcast.
Sick.
So this is the first one that we've done in person. So thank you for coming on.
Well, I didn't have a choice. I live here.
Being in my house.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for inviting me upstairs in my house next to my bedroom.
Don't know what we're going to talk about.
Cool.
But, because, whatever. Because usually we just talk about nothing anyway.
Yeah.
I think that for anyone listening, I think that most people that have listened to the podcast thus far are Ice Nine fans. So I don't feel like we need to go too deep into that stuff. But we should. But they know us already, you know?
What's that stuff?
I don't want to talk about horror movies.
Oh, please don't.
Yeah.
I don't ever want to talk about that shit.
By the way, if anyone out there listening asks me what my favorite horror movie is, I'm not going to answer. Like, just look it up online, because there's literally every interview we've ever done has asked that question. And, like, I don't want to explain to any more people that, like, it's not Halloween.
Oh, my God.
You know? Yeah. I love horror movies, but right. It's not – I'm not, like, crazy slasher fan.
Yeah, I love horror films, too. They're my favorite. Fuck.
But we did watch – no, you do.
Yeah,
know.
All right, dude. I feel like every time it's time to – who wants to watch a movie tonight?
Now we're talking about horror movies. Like, fuck! No, this is good. This is actually good.
But it's like, you know, my girlfriend's stoked. Your girlfriend gets excited. You're like...
But dude, but on tour, like, sometimes you get, like, super into that stuff. Like,
they're when we watch Hereditary and Mother.
And The Witch.
The Witch. Those, that's, like, not horror film. That's
those
called,
are my favorite.
That's called good movie time.
Yeah, those are my favorite, because they just make you super uncomfortable.
Yeah, dude. Like, if I could... feel like Black Mirror in all films, I'd be stoked. But right. I don't want to see, like, a young girl getting her torso split in half.
Yeah, see, my thing is, like, I'm never a huge fan of, like, there's a killer trying to kill you movies. Because, like, it's all the same. It's just you're just trying not to get killed by the killer. And then, like, the twists and the interesting parts are always, like, how he kills them. Or how like someone
the
gets
kill
away.
Scene specifically.
Yeah, and it's just like, I get it, and I see the appeal. And there are some of those movies that I really enjoy, but there's a lot of them are just kind of like, they're all just kind of rethought versions of the same
thing. Horror films the breakdowns of movies?
Like, there's just one in every song.
And, yeah,
and they're
like,
all kind of the
and
same.
And it's all based around the same,
different.
Yeah. But this time we're going to do a rest.
Right. Yeah, that's good.
Sick, dude.
That's good.
Ice Nine Kills loves breakdowns.
Josh,
and
do you
breakdowns.
Like? Do you watch horror movies?
Yeah.
Oof.
I like the ones that are like The Shining, where it's just,
I love The Shining.
Like psychological, like weird stuff.
Yeah.
The slasher ones are like I started watching because I got into Ice Nine, but I like the psychological
me
stuff.
Me too.
Yeah, and like the nostalgic shit, like the throwback stuff, I find way cooler than like
me too.
Rob Zombie thinking.
I did like
gives
the
a
Rob
shit.
Zombie.
Well, I'm pretending like I saw it. I did not.
I mean, I like some of the slasher ones, but they have to be like, I thought Scream was awesome. I loved Scream. That's a great slasher film.
I liked,
it's also like very tongue-in-cheek.
I liked Scary Movie.
Okay. Not
you know?
A horror movie.
Yes,
but
okay. Based on... I posted this the other day on Instagram. I found a photo of me wearing the Scream mask.
I saw that, yeah.
And I'm sitting there like looking at it, and I was trying to like... unpack like where the fuck I thought that was okay. It's because I watched Scary Movie.
That's hilarious.
It's not because I watched Scream.
I think I had a Scream mask, but I had never seen the movie.
Tight, dude.
I think I bought it at Wayside Bazaar, which is a really weird store in the town I grew up in. Do you know what we should do in Reading, my parents' town? We should actually, now I'm thinking, maybe we should just go through.
Oh, no.
Just the standard Ice Nine Kills questions that we get.
Oh, my God.
Talk Mike.
Oh, my God.
But that would be good, because we could just...
just get it done.
Well, I mean, now's the only time where I feel comfortable. Like, if I'm standing in a row of people and it's, like, during VIP and someone asks me a question, I can't, like, go into
Joe, anytime we're in front of any amount of people being asked this question, you get to go... Episode 11 of my podcast. Go check it out.
Perfect. There we
done.
Go.
Done deal. Cross promotion.
So what are some other questions that people ask?
What's your favorite part about Spencer?
Oh, God.
Why do his eyes make you feel certain ways?
It's so funny to me that Spencer... You know, it's weird that there's like... You know how there's like singer fandom?
Yeah.
And like that whole thing to me is uncomfortable, cuz a lot of my close friends are like those singers.
Yeah.
Like
are
Donnie
they, are they uncomfortable with it?
No, I mean, I don't even know if anyone in the position truly recognizes it. I think people do. Like they acknowledge it and they get it. Like obviously the singer is the most noticeable person in the band.
I mean, if anyone is doing that and not capitalizing on it, then they're not doing that.
But I'm just saying, like, it just means I just think like it's interesting how in certain genres of music, singers like get this crazy amount of fandom, which is, I get it,
mm-hmm.
but like it almost removes a lot of the music part of it. And somehow, like, there are bands that aren't involved in it and bands that are, right?
Yeah.
We're one of those bands. True. Somehow Spencer is like...
True.
He is more popular than Ice Nine.
Hands down.
I feel like.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And same thing with like a... Like Donnie even.
Yeah.
Right? Like Donnie is a... Yeah, and a lot of that scene for sure.
What's the
Tillian from DGD?
I'm trying to think of a situation where
Ronnie is another great.
Yeah,
example,
yeah, yeah.
Right?
What's the band of Mice and Men?
Yeah,
where he had that same kind of clout, and then him leaving.
Yes.
Left the band. I'm supposed to talk into the mic.
Right, right. We'll see if this is good. We'll see.
But like, that's an instance where a singer who had that type of clout left the band, and the band was left with nothing because of it.
Dude, I think that happens all the time. Like, even like,
so
like slaves, yeah. Right? Like Johnny Craig was mm-hmm. like there, and like, dude, those bands aren't worse without the
singers. I know,
those singers.
But it's the backing of the audience.
I know,
disappears.
And that's what's so interesting, that there's like singer fandom, and it's not even that much about the band, even though the band, like, if I'm being totally honest, I think of Mice and Men as a better band now.
Yeah,
like than they were
yeah.
before.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, to be honest, I don't know a ton of the old stuff, but that's, yeah, it's interesting. So yeah. That's my favorite, to answer your question, that's my favorite thing about Spencer. is that he's really famous.
Yeah, that is, that's good for you. That does tend to work for you pretty well.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And I wasn't even doing anything. Like when I got asked to join, it was just me being friends with Spencer.
Yeah. Yeah. At least you have been friends with him. Lucky you.
I mean, I've known Spencer for a long
time. I know, dude. I've known him for 2 years. Not even.
Dude, like a year and 3 months, about. Fuck. Isn't that crazy?
I'm living in LA with you? What the fuck?
Dude, I picked you up from the airport without meeting you. Like, what was it? March 20th?
Yeah.
Or something like that?
Yeah, we had a good day. That was a good day.
What did we do?
We made a very bad song.
Oh, yeah.
And then we had... Saki.
At Kodo?
At Kodo.
This is all Salem stuff.
We went to Witch Doctor.
Some clothes fitted.
You got some clothes fitted?
Right.
We talked about...
We went to Witch Doctor and we looked at pipes.
Mm-hmm.
For smoking weed.
This is one of our most favorite pastimes and now times.
I would say that your influence on me has been...
Good?
Has changed my lifestyle a ton.
I don't know how I feel about that.
I mean, I'm having a good time.
You know what's what's really funny is knowing, like, when I moved here, you're like, yeah, dude, like, Jess is, like, not cool with weed and all this shit. And then I get here, and everyone's just getting so high all day now.
Now the whole house is either taking edibles or smoking weed. To the point where our neighbor that lives across the across our driveway yesterday found a bag of weed and was like, this... Looks like it's yours. Like, yeah, it's us.
It's good.
Yeah, it's pretty great. Yeah. Fuck, I had another question that was going to lead me. Oh. I was going to say that we should probably talk about our relationship.
Yeah, dude, it started with... One thing.
When did we start?
I don't know why.
I don't...
It doesn't really matter how hard you try. Keep that in mind.
Do you remember the day?
Is that Linkin Park?
I think.
Sorry.
Thing I done. Is it?
I think so.
Yeah, it is.
Sorry.
Yeah, it is. Do you remember the first day we met? We were like, oh yeah, I don't really smoke that much. Like, I'm probably not going to smoke any like flower on tour. Maybe like the pen.
Yeah.
And then that day.
We were smoking. Yeah, I had not been smoking for 3 months at all.
Yeah.
At all.
And then tour happened, and it was, like, insanity.
Yeah. It's funny how, like, my coming to Ice Nine Kills, the topic is this.
A weed band?
Yeah. Now we're vegan smoking fucking...
I have a Subaru where we're all vegan, and, well, not... Spencer's not vegan. Ricky's not vegan,
but
even though he eats vegan a lot.
He is vegan.
Patrick eats vegan a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Spencer said that he would never.
What happened the other day that he was, like, stoked on? There was something vegan that I gave him that he was like...
Was it Vegan Rob's?
No, it might have been like, it wasn't Monty's, but it was something like that.
Oh, like a fake meat thing?
Yeah.
And he was like, this is
Yeah, sick. I don't remember what the fuck it was.
Yeah, that, he is open to all of it. Like, he's not like he won't eat it, but he just loves a good steak. And there is no good steak substitute.
No, that's true. And there's also no shortage of good steak in any country right. anywhere.
Yeah.
Which is tough.
That's been, I was just talking about this with my dad, like, right before this interview. How, because he was thinking, he was like, I don't eat steak that often, but, like, I can eat plant-based burgers, no problem. Because he was thinking about going plant-based.
Really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, he listens to this podcast on his morning walks, he just told me. So now he's going to listen to us about how we smoke a shitload of weed. And
well, I mean, he knows.
Yeah.
He's down.
And this will also be great material for any future jobs I apply for.
Right, right. And for all the 13-year-old Ice Nine kids who look up to us.
Right.
This is good.
It's legal. It's fine. Yeah. I don't feel bad about that at all.
No. And, like, we could also talk about the ins and outs of it, like the ebbs and flows of how much versus, like, pulling back to
be healthy.
Is this
just a weed episode?
Yeah, we're talking about weed now.
All right, let's do it.
What do you mean? I'm here.
Okay, okay. So that is something that I don't I mean, you know, like I have only recently gotten to understand the different types of weed and like been able to tell the different qualities. Cause that's at first it was the same thing when I got into like beer too, which I haven't
right.
really had a lot of either.
Right.
It's like when you first start drinking beer, it all kind of tastes the same mm-hmm. and then you get into it and everything.
But
all I know is that when you take muscle relaxers and smoke weed, it's intense.
Yeah. You, you have been a pile of goo the past 48 hours.
Yeah.
It's been good.
Yeah.
But yeah, dude, I mean, like...
Oh, wait, I'm prescribed muscle relaxers, too. I'm not just taking muscle relaxers.
This is the worst episode ever, dude.
I know.
Should we make a hard left and talk about, like, slasher films?
Sure.
that. No. But yeah, dude, like, I'm kind of sitting here kind of laughing at the fact that I met you in a time... Sorry, fuck. I'm laughing about the fact that I met you at a time when I had, like, sworn off... weed altogether.
Yeah.
Like, literally, I was like, nah,
why
I'm not...
Why did you do that?
I was going through some... Do you want to get heavy? It's heavy reasons.
I mean,
reasons.
You can, but I'm going to get it back to light really quick.
Cool. before I joined Ice Nine Kills, I was dealing with some fucked up amounts of depression and anxiety.
Yeah.
I was dealing with insane amounts of suicidal thoughts and all this fucked up shit. I moved out to Texas to start a music education company with this dude I... once trusted, it turned out to be the biggest piece of shit ever. So all of this stuff was just like eroding beneath
me. I'm
gonna
interview him.
You really should. Get the other side of the story.
What if I did and I was just like, just a dick? Anyway, sorry, keep going. I was just
you're just throwing some light
just
in
let
there.
Let people think about that.
Yeah, just what would that
Even
be
though
like?
They know nothing about the dude and have no idea.
Yeah, and I'll never say his name publicly.
Want me to?
Yeah. but the motherfucker effectively put me in a situation where I was left with a large house and rent, and I was alone in Texas, living alone, right. and it was just, like, absolutely fucking devastating. Like, I moved out there, like, a year after my mom passed away, so I was just alone and in this, like, depressed fuck state.
Was weed making it worse?
I felt like, and this is what it was, is I found myself just waking up and immediately smoking myself to the point where, like...
Right, so, you know, like, you know, so like just normal.
You know, at the end of the night, when it's our job to like fall
After,
asleep on yourself?
While we watch the rest of the crew load in our merch and we stand
No,
there
I'm talking
weed.
About at home to go to sleep. I'm basically saying like I would dose myself like the go-to-bed amount like all day.
Oh, God,
like
dude,
the second
I
woke
not
up.
I function like that.
Right, and I was hitting my like 2.5-foot bong that like destroys you.
Yeah.
So it got to a point where like I started to recognize that I wasn't doing anything active for myself. I wasn't even like cognizant of my like downhill trajectory. Like it just wasn't fucking obvious to me, you know what I mean? And it got to a point where... like, my anxiety was so fucking bad that I've spoken to you about this. I literally couldn't leave my fucking house. I would black out trying to, like, go to my car.
Because you were high.
Yes, Joe, because I was high. There was a time where I actually made it to my car and backed out of my driveway and passed out while driving.
What the fuck, dude?
Yeah, man. It was fucking bad.
So then what? Then weed made it all better?
No, weed did not make it better. That's where I discovered, like, and in this time period, I was, like, desperately looking for a therapist because I needed to talk to somebody, and the health marketplace denied my ability to get health insurance.
Sick.
So...
health insurance is so fun.
It's so cool. Yeah, my favorite part about America is health insurance.
Yeah, I've been trying to get this x-rayed for a while.
I know.
Do it.
I could just punch you.
Yeah, that'd be good. Okay. When I said this, by the way, I pointed at my jaw, not my dick.
Yeah, I've been trying to get this handled for a long time.
Hi, Mom.
But yeah, so I was in this situation where I like... My thought was like... do the last resort thing, which is like kill myself or try something new.
Yeah. So what did you try?
I didn't try killing myself, but
right,
I planned
you tried
it.
Weed.
No. Stop
I mean,
going
not
to weed.
Weed. You tried not weed. Sorry.
So I stumbled on in like knowing that I couldn't get a therapist, couldn't afford a therapist, health insurance wasn't gonna step in to help me with that. I went on this like mad research hunt to just find anything that could help me, and I found this guy Wim Hof.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I told you about this shit, right. And within 2 fucking days of doing this like breathing technique, I felt normal.
Yeah.
Like literally fucking normal.
Yeah, you told me that the day, on the way home from the airport.
Yeah, the day I met you.
Yeah.
And this is like, I don't want to put this out there, even though I'm about to.
I think
I don't
that
give
guy's
shit.
Fascinating.
Oh my
I just watched a whole documentary
God,
on him,
dude. He is the most incredible human.
Yeah.
On planet Earth.
Yeah,
the most,
he's fascinating.
Dude, the most insane thing about that is
I like...
I like
listening to him talk.
He's so inspiring.
I mean, I think he's funny.
He's funny as shit.
Yeah, I think he's just a goofy dude.
He's an Amsterdam fucking... Yeah he's hilarious.
He's a kook.
But the most insane thing about that scenario is like... and for anyone who doesn't know, Wim Hof, he's called the Iceman. He has figured out how to basically tap his parasympathetic nervous system and like hack all the biochemistry inside. And it's in a... time when people are saying those claims and it's not backed by shit, he's gone ahead and had like thousands of science, tons of studies done on him, and they're like, oh yeah, you are the first person to ever actually activate the autonomous nervous system, a thing that we never thought was possible. So he's able to go into his brain and change the chemistry
wild.
Of shit before it happens.
But
so
it's
one,
all like psycho stuff. It's not like, but when he does it with other people, he tricks them into doing it. It's crazy.
Yes. Well, the thing that he's... If you look at that, the psycho, like, tricking your mind, that's the power of the brain.
Yeah.
So it's really
that's
like...
that's the stuff that I get super into.
He's tricking your belief system. It's
right.
Like, but your brain is doing the
work.
Yeah,
your brain can't
right.
do it if you don't believe
but
it would
like,
happen.
But, like, one of the things he did... I mean, as far as the feats, like, he swam under, like, 3 feet of Arctic ice for 9 minutes.
Insane.
He hung from a mile high off his middle finger for, like, 4 hours. He was in 9 hours of a bucket of ice in the middle of, like, Japan. Motherfucker does insane shit, but... this one particular thing that he did is he was injected with E. coli, and he was able to, I think like 1,700 other people were injected with it. In 20 minutes, he was able to overcome all symptoms and walk out.
Crazy.
And everyone else was like throwing up and feverish and had to stay in the hospital.
Why would anyone do that?
Because
that
he wanted to prove that he could do it.
Yeah, but other people.
Well, right. Why? Yeah.
I'm not signing up for that test.
But he... the doctors are like, all right, like, you're a fucking anomaly. This is not supposed to happen. And then Wim Hof goes, I'm not an anomaly. I actually have
you just trained people.
I have an identical twin brother who can't do any of this.
Uh-huh. I mean, I don't know. I don't hold that to be proof of anything.
That,
but
what that says to me.
Identical just means looks. They're not identical DNA.
Genetically speaking, they share a lot of the same DNA.
They share a lot.
Right. Like, but my point is that it is not genetic what he's doing.
Oh, I don't think
that's
genetic.
That's my point. Is the fact that like he has an A/B test that he was born with.
Right.
Is pretty nuts. And then he took 24 people, and in 3 days trained them, and they were able to do the same thing.
That shit's the wildest thing. You know who? Every time I talk about this dude, it reminds me of. And this is, you're gonna laugh at this. Is Ozzy Osbourne?
What?
That dude has done so much, so many drugs, and partied so much that he's had studies done on him. And this is all stuff I've heard, where they're saying like it's the opposite, where it's not like a mental thing. It's just that his body is like engineered to party. Like his body can. He said they were like, if any other person had taken this much shit, they'd be dead.
What the fuck?
Like, it's just, like, your body processes this stuff. Like, and, like, someone like him, and this is what I always think about. Like, if his body processes it that well, and he's like that now. Do you know what I mean? Like, could you imagine?
That's Keith, how much Keith Richards that was? Probably.
I'm sure he's another one, but yeah. That dude's, yeah.
Also not doing good.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what good means, but yeah. What time is it? Now is a good time to break.
Should I finish my story?
Yes.
Should I?
Yeah, finish it.
Because this is about weed. Now we're gonna go get high.
No, let's get through that, and then
we're gonna talk about why I don't smoke weed.
And then we're gonna go get high. Yeah, we're taking a break to get high and see what the rest of the interview is like.
It's a shameful smile. He just all right.
Yeah, Josh is looking at us very. Josh is
judgmentally.
He's much younger than us. And so I'm not sure if this is like a good influence or dude, it doesn't like everything stays the same. I'm 31. You know?
it's legal.
Nothing matters.
Yeah.
You know?
It's legal. Yeah. So effectively, like, I stumbled on this guy, and all of his, you know, this method and all these people saying that it like helped them, blah, blah, blah. So I just committed to it for a few days just to see what would happen. And this is something that I've, like, I'm just going to say it here because it's fucking nuts and I might as well, dude. One of the things that scientifically occurs from doing the Wim Hof method is you can activate DMT in your mind.
Oh, that's tight.
So this is where I was having...
I'm too scared to do it, though.
This is where I was having hallucinations and messages. Yeah. I told you about this shit,
yes,
right?
Yes.
So I was meditating. I was doing this shit before I fell asleep on, like, the third night. I know how fucking insane this sounds. I am so anti-religion. I'm so anti...
Yeah, you told me about
this. I'm so anti all of this shit, right?
Yeah.
I was told that I was possessed.
Uh-huh.
And then my body started convulsing.
Right.
And I started making this insane fucking noise out of my mouth. Like kind of shit. Like, I swear to fucking God. And I'm fucking convulsing in my bed. And then all of a sudden it says, like, you're no longer possessed. You're free of this shit. And I swear to fucking God, dude, I woke up the next day to do my natural, like, grab the bong and start. And I was just like, no, they said, you don't need this anymore.
Do you think that's, it's like,
But, dude, but the thing is from that point on, I was never, until I met you, fucking asshole, I was never drunk. Like, I was never like, I just want to go smoke weed.
Wait, hold on a second.
It's
you're
honestly.
You're going to blame weed on
no,
me?
No, I'm blaming touring. I'm blaming weed on, wait.
I was going to say, are you kidding
me? Yeah, I'm kidding. Until I met you, I was never going to do drugs. No, but like, and again, meeting you actually shifted my perspective on weed, which allowed me to maintain the work that I put into it before and not feel like I was like repossessing or whatever.
Like,
the
when
fuck.
I hear that thing, like, I believe all that stuff happened. I also think.
I don't know what it means.
Well, I was thinking, like, do you think that's your body's way of not personifying is the wrong word, but like. It's creating an entity for you to deal with, like maybe a mental thing or something that's not physical, and making it feel more physical to expel it.
Sure,
does
but
that
let's
make sense?
Yeah, but let's unpack that for a second, because does that mean anything?
No, it doesn't. I'm just thinking about.
But
you
like,
know,
but
what,
does that take away from like?
No, not at all.
Isn't that
it's,
weird
it's
though?
It's just the
cause
I'm just
versus the
about
effect.
Why it would be that
right,
way instead
right.
of just like. Dealing with it internally.
Dude,
I find that very interesting.
I will do this in the coming like weeks as I'm unpacking my shit. I would wake up every day and write down the messages that I got.
Yeah.
I have a journal filled with this shit.
So I can publish it
and make me insane. Yeah, it probably would happen.
Yeah.
But dude, like I legitimately feel like that was the weirdest thing that ever fucking happened to me. Every time I did that meditation in bed before I went to sleep, I went to that place and got messages.
So weird.
Like, dude, it happened several times. It happened when Sarah would be next to me, and she would start to feel the thing that I was feeling, and she would not be doing it. It was very
wild,
dude. I don't fucking know, man. But
yeah,
I don't either. Effectively, I pulled myself out of this deep, dark fucking hole of wanting to kill myself and smoke myself to death. And in that time period, I recognized that like I do have the ability to like go out of my fucking house. Do you know, like, which is something I didn't have the ability to do. Like, how insane is that?
That's crazy.
So I started, like, taking, you know, like, baby steps. Like I started, like I would go to the grocery store and see if I could do that, and I'd have like a little panic attack, and then go in my car and do a meditation, and then go finish the thing if I could, and I would slowly like step out and do that.
Yeah.
And then in the midst of me like maybe getting like a haircut, which was like really fucking hard for me, Spencer messaged me to join Iceland Kills.
And then you made that video.
And I made that video. In a time when I was like in no fucking position to
and
be.
And now
live
in LA.
I live in LA.
And
smoking
all I
weed.
Do is take down all your theories.
It's good. It's healthy, man. It's good to be questioned. But yeah. But yeah, like all of that went into me like rediscovering, I guess, like. Whack as it's about to fucking sound, like a true north with like
no,
how
I think
how I wanted
like,
to operate.
Dude, I had that experience too, like quitting my job and like doing this and like rethinking about things, I how I live my life and stuff.
Yeah, like dude, I remember the very first day, Northern Lights. What was
that's
it called?
That is a strain of weed.
It is.
It was
Thank
called
you.
The Lost Horizon in Syracuse.
Yes, Northern Lights. OG Kush, yeah. I believe was the name of the venue. Holy shit, that's really funny.
Yeah.
But I remember specifically that day, you and I getting stoned as shit after the show.
And, I don't remember that.
And me freaking out. I was in my bunk freaking out, being like, who the fuck are these 10 dudes around me? I don't want to be here. I don't like this.
I don't really remember.
I remember talking to you the next day about it. I remember being like, hey man, I was just thinking last night about not wanting to do this anymore.
Oh yeah, I do.
Yeah. And that was me feeling like by smoking weed, I was like reverting
right,
back
right.
to some shit.
But that went away quick.
It went away
because that tour was so fun.
Yeah, it was. That was a great. And that basically what happened was I recognized in that time period that like I had put myself in a scenario that like after everything with my old business happened, after everything with my old band happened.
It sounds like there was a lot of things that went shitty in your life that, and mentally
yes.
within like 5 years.
Within two.
Yeah.
To and where then, everyone was against me.
Right. And then it just took a lot to get out of it.
Yes.
And it was just, that was just one of those things.
And
that
it was kind of like being in that bus with 10 people screaming.
It
and
forced you to.
It was forced
like
me.
Immersion therapy.
It was exactly immersion therapy.
In Syracuse, New York.
It was the Northern Lights and I'll never forget it.
From that strip club. Was that the name of the strip club?
Is that what I remember more?
Well, we didn't go
Ooh,
to it.
But I might remember that. Yeah, so that shit was nuts, man, and I feel like since that occurred, I've managed to maintain, because in that time period, in those 3 months, I, like, rediscovered my ability to, like, achieve goals, set deadlines, and reach
right.
them,
yeah.
and then I moved forward with that just high as fuck.
Right.
And it's way better.
Okay, good. So now, let's take a break.
Get high as fuck!
And then the next time you hear our voices... It will be different. Getting coronavirus all over my studio.
Well, you already have it if I have it.
Yeah, that's true.
We
okay, so we're back.
Whoops.
And now we smoked weed and we're back.
Smoking.
And we have pens and we have like 20 minutes. So I'm going to do the whole last part of the podcast thing that I've done, which is all tour story things. Which I'm gonna ask you for two. I want to hear a tour story that you haven't told me, from, you know, a different band.
You gotta like jog my shit.
I'll get you there. But,
okay.
And then also I want to hear one that involves the both of us that we can both talk about. But let's obviously, I think the easiest one to talk about would be As Blood Runs Black. Like, for you.
The easiest one?
Easiest band to talk about as far as your past tour stories.
Sure.
I want to hear something that maybe involves another person in a band that... Let's keep it to maybe someone who's still active, if you can, that I might be able to get them to retell the same story.
Ooh. This is tough.
That might be too specific. But I would also say anything that comes to your head that's particularly funny.
You know what sucks, though, dude, is like that band is tainted by all the bad memories.
You have bad things. So you have funny stories from that time, though.
Jog my tits.
I mean, there's stuff that happened on a plane that was very funny.
What stuff?
I
can't talk about that one.
No, I know, but now everyone's gonna think like now like some weird shit went down on a plane.
Well, yeah.
I've heard the story about the massive brawl that you had on tour.
That was a really good one. That actually might
be the
easiest.
That's a good story. I would be down to that. That's a story that people should hear. It's a good story.
And it involves so many bands.
So
that
many
you could
bands.
Because there's like, all right, that's
explain
a fair one.
Explain the whole touring scenario too with that too, because that's actually interesting. Like there was a shitload of bands on that tour.
So
they were sharing buses.
So this is Never Say Die Tour 2011 in Europe. I'm going to do my best to kind of run. It was like Suicide Silence, Amir, D's Nuts, Human Abstract, fucking tight.
Yeah, that band was sick.
The Word Alive, Vanna.
Right.
That's a Vanna tour.
You're right.
That's a Vanna tour.
There we
go.
We were just talking about Vanna. That's why you said it.
Okay, so we are on two different buses. I think we were on...
Wait, the whole tour was on two buses?
Yeah.
You're kidding me.
No.
How many bunks on each bus?
Like 25.
Holy shit.
Yeah, double deckers. It was insane.
So there's no like hanging out on the buses.
No. It was like
that must have been a nightmare.
There was like a little lounge in the front in the red bus, which was our bus, which was like the opening bands.
So the headlining bands bus.
That was D's Nuts, Amir, and Suicide.
D's Nuts was a headliner?
At that, yeah.
Were they just huge in Europe or something?
I think so, yeah.
Because I think I had them at my place I worked at, and they brought out like 50 people.
Yeah, that was like a European respect thing, I think. And I fucking loved touring with that band. Those guys were so funny.
I heard they were hilarious.
They're hilarious dudes. But so we are in the tour's fucking going great. Everyone's getting along. It's Europe. They provide like a fridge full of beer for every band, so you can imagine it's just an absolute shit show every night. Mm-hmm. Everyone's getting along, and. Mm-hmm. Our bass player, Nick, and this is going to be confusing because this story involves two Nicks.
Okay.
So maybe we should come up with some new names here.
Well, so who are the two Nicks?
We have Nick Stewart.
Who is?
Bass player for ABRB. Okay. And then Nick Corling.
Nick Corling.
Tour manager from The Word Alive.
Okay, so let's do Nick ABRB and Nick TM.
That's just so many letters to say. Okay. So Nick ABRB... liked his drink at the time. He was known for his drink. Uh-huh. And he got shit-faced, blackout one night, and passed out on the lower half of the bus, which was like where the bus chairs were, just regular like lounge chairs, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
And Nick Corling from the TM, he had left his laptop and backpack in a bag downstairs, which Nick decided was a trash can to throw up in.
Oh.
Nick ABRB decided it was a trash can to throw up in.
Yes.
To which the next day we wake up to like Nick Corling screaming, "Who the fuck did this? What the fuck?" Also, I have to preface all of this with like I have a great relationship still with Nick. He has been sober for like 7+ years. Okay. So everyone needs to know that like this is not rehashing some shit. I love that guy to death, and he's absolutely not this guy anymore. But. And he probably would have a kick talking about this with me too anyways. But he like Nick Corling is screaming about who, you know, threw up in his backpack and no one fesses up and everyone saw Nick passed out
so
blacked out.
So everyone knew it was
everyone
him,
knew
but
it was,
no one was saying it.
Yes, and Nick didn't admit
and
it because
no
he was blackout
to out
drunk.
Him either, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So then it created this whole like
wait, Nick ABRB did not know he had done it.
No, he blacked out.
I mean, but
out.
He probably could have. He probably knew.
Yeah, but he also felt like it's an easy thing to like scapegoat
sure,
on him.
Sure,
you know
sure,
what I mean?
Right,
just
right,
pin the drunk.
Right, right.
But like Nick Cornling had just bought this like iMac for this tour. Sorry, dude. I like to move.
You're still getting picked up.
Yeah, Nick just bought that iMac for the tour, so our Nick ruined that for him, and it was a really big ordeal. So for days, it was just creating this like tension. Nick Cornling was like, just like. Talking shit to all these bands and making all the other bands like hate us for this, which was
hate
like this
your band
hate,
specifically?
Hate ABR. Like he was like literally trying to like rally
got
people
it,
against
it,
Nick,
that's
our Nick.
Right, right.
And then one day we are in Budapest, Hungary.
Was it the same place we played?
No. This was a very different spot and very cool place. I wish we went there because the catering is the best, dude.
Yeah, catering.
Grandma, European sucked. Grandma cooking, dude. Yeah. Oh god, I missed it. I missed this shit. But. God. So, in Budapest, they have this, like, plum moonshine, like a plum whiskey. It's, like, their weird local drink, and it was very strong.
Okay.
And we were being given just, like, loads of it endlessly at the bar, and I would say, like, 80% of the package at this point, it was, like, 2 a.m. I think it might have been a day off. At this point, the package was just, like, blackout, just absolutely fucked, right?
Okay.
And our bass player, Nick, is, like, walking along and doing what we had deemed baby giraffe, because he, like, when a baby giraffe is born,
yeah,
they can't walk and their legs like buckle in on their knees. Like his knees buckled in on each other is how he stands.
Oh god,
it's like the funniest. You could like blow him over. It's fucking ridiculous. But he's like walking around trying to get back to the bunk, and Nick Cornling comes and kicks his legs out from under him.
Oh, shit.
And then our drummer, Lech, without thinking anything, just, like, throws his drink in his face and then punches him.
Yeah.
Without, like, it was, like, just, like,
yeah,
nothing, right? It just fucking
happened.
I mean,
I would have done that, too.
And then, I want to say, oh, what was this guy's name? Like, Candy John or, like, Deadly John or some stupid shit. He was the merch
like,
guy.
Down, John.
Yeah, like I'm a kill you, Terry.
Yeah.
But this guy was terrifying.
Can we just call him X John X?
X John X came in and split it up real fast, and they were like, "Get your fucking bass player into the bunk. He's going the fuck to sleep." Everyone else just split this shit up, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So we get Nick upstairs, and I was tasked with doing this, and I remember him falling and then planking on the spiral staircase and just sleeping there for like 5 minutes on the stairs. And then I had to drag him up the stairs into his bunk, and I was like, cool, got him there.
Wow.
And then, do you remember Scott, the merch guy for, what was the last tour we just did? Hollywood Undead. Tattoo neck guy.
Yes. Yes.
That was the merch guy for the whole tour package.
Okay.
And Nick somehow managed to crawl out of his bunk and into Scott's bunk and threw up in his bunk. Under his mattress,
God,
where Scott keeps the tour's money.
Oh, Jesus, dude. This guy's vomit is just ruining everything.
I know. And then, so, like, everyone thinks the shit split up and everyone's fine. And all of a sudden, Scott, who's Scottish as fuck, comes running out of the bunk, or running out of the bus going, "Me bunk! Someone threw up in me bunk!" And just, like, starting a fucking shit show. And we all knew it was fucking Nick.
Yeah. And I'm sure
the whole tour package runs in, and it just becomes a brawl immediately. Like,
so
the,
wait, when you say a brawl, was it just everyone versus you?
No, actually, it was the two buses.
Wait, so what? Wait.
Yeah, it was insane.
So hold on. They were all on your side.
It started with the Word Alive on our bus fighting us, and then it turned into I remember this because me. And AJ Manette, the guitar player of Human Abstract, we were like the only two guys who like read books.
You're like pacifists.
Yeah, we're the only two guys who like might talk about something other than like
sure.
sluts.
Yeah.
We were standing on this like marble staircase, like a couple like feet up above everyone, just like watching it. And someone slammed down and broke the marble staircase in front of us. It was like probably 2,000 years old.
Oh my God.
But I just remember like standing there with him like, what the fuck is going on, dude? And then Suicide Silence.
A real
Silence.
Fight.
Yes.
Like Word Alive versus ABRV.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
That's happened.
And I'm still good
friends.
How did
that start?
Oh, I was just about to say I'm still friends with like Daniel Shapiro and shit, but on the same tour, he threw up in his bunk above me and it tripped into my bunk.
Jesus.
There's a lot of throw up on that tour.
Fuck? All right. But wait, how did the fighting between those two bands start?
Which bands?
your band in Word Alive? Was it just because
so that was that basically got kicked off again because of the bunk thing? So like that got everyone inflamed to where everyone was pissed about their money getting fucked because of Nick.
Got it.
And that's when it became their bus versus our bus because and it was Word Alive was probably on the other side too, still whooping Nick's ass, but it became like white bus versus the red bus for some fucking reason. I don't know how that happened. But everyone in Suicide came out. Everyone in Amir came out. There was this huge fucking fight.
This is crazy.
It was insane, dude.
So there's how many bands versus how many bands?
I got to go look at the tour thing downstairs. It was probably like 4 versus 4, like 3 versus 3. I don't remember how many bands were on the package.
It was like a 40-person brawl.
Yeah. It was insane. It was insane.
Where was this? Like
Budapest,
in a parking lot?
No, in front of the venue we'd played that night or the day before, just like on the sidewalk.
So there was no fans around or
anything. No, it was like 2 a.m.
I so badly wish there was video of this.
Who knows, dude?
Like
maybe
that
there was.
Many people fighting. Like,
it was insane. It was fucking insane, dude.
Oh my God.
It was outrageous. Everyone was
who
fucked
won?
Up. It got stopped. Like
who was winning?
Not us, dude.
So you're in Suicide Silence.
Well, yeah, they were like the straight edge guys whooping ass.
Yeah.
So that makes sense.
Right. Beating up the metalcore dudes on the
yeah,
other
and then,
bus.
And then for the rest of the tour, there were signs all over every venue. No red bus. No red bus allowed.
Wow.
Yeah, like we weren't allowed to have drinks. No red bus on all the fridge. No red bus at certain.
Because
like,
they
yeah.
all thought like all it of was, you were just a bunch of drunks.
Basically, and, it was basically yeah. It just became like a. I
the
fucking,
red bus is
I,
fucking ruining the tour.
I love,
but
all
you're
of
friends
those
with
still.
So many of those.
Still,
guys.
Yeah, every single one of them.
Were you on the tour?
Yeah.
You.
Yeah.
Not the rest.
That's
of your
how
band.
It always was. Like.
Wow. So the everyone hated the one dude. Which then kind of turned into
it wasn't even the one dude and like
no
this,
I know I, well was there other shit that was going on that fueled this too
I don't recall
it's
other
just very
shit.
Interesting
it was really,
to me that it turned into that
and I remember like fucking I'm airing out so much like detail dude I know I'm stepping off mic to talk about this part
oh no I'm recording it
but like I remember like the next day like I'm gonna just avoid saying booking agent's name but he comes out and is like. You guys have to apologize. You have to pay for Nick's whole laptop that you destroyed, or else we're going to have to kick you off the agency. And it just became this whole... And, dude, we destroyed that tour. Like, Metal Hammer magazine did a whole entire feature on us because we were the standout of the whole package. And, it like, for us to ruin it with, like, just our antics offstage, such a fucking bummer, man. That was, to me, the downfall of ABRB was offstage antics. We were the best band all the time, but we were such... fucking shitty idiots off stage. We're just shitty idiots.
You know, sometimes that can work in your favor.
And sometimes, as you know, it doesn't.
Yes. I do know.
I know, you know.
Not personally.
Yes.
God, some of the stuff that's cryptic can be taken in such a bad direction.
Well, I like those.
On this podcast.
I like those. Let's leave them ambiguous.
Yeah. All right. Well, I don't even want to go into the other story because that's too good.
Because there's no time is what you're saying.
Well, that too. But I also think that we should, because we live together, just do this.
Sure.
Probably as a recurring thing anyway.
It makes it easy.
And we can just save tons of stuff.
Sweet. I'm down.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Well, also, just before we're totally done, say all the stuff that you're doing.
I'm holding a weed pen with my palm to the ground. Mm-hmm. My right foot is
about... Mm-hmm. And where
is
the link to that?
It's this button. I just released a new solo record called Inside Out Part 1. Super short form of what that is. As my mom was passing away about 3 years ago, I wrote this record just knowing it was happening. And it took me 3 years to finally be able to like look at the record and release it. Finally just happened. Currently working on Part 2 already. I have tons of... private lessons going on if you play guitar or if you want to get into songwriting or producing. I also just launched a online lesson community called Sugarman's Lesson Lounge, which is like a free platform where you'll get tons of resources from me, like mini free lessons. You could directly contact me if you have questions. There's a community of close to 200 of my students, and they're all supporting each other. We have my Game of Tones section where I do a bunch of like ridiculous guitar games that are super fun. also just cool contests, cool interactive like journal prompts to get you working on stuff that day. And I'm launching my own podcast soon called Mindframe. That's going to be the exact opposite from this podcast. That's going to be it's going to be really fucking serious, and it's basically going to be like deep diving into musicians' minds to figure out how they accomplished the things they did.
You will never be able to have me on that podcast.
I would love to try. I would love to try.
You're going
to
ask me the questions, and I'm not going to be able to do it.
I'm going to try.
I'm down.
Like, it'll be a good time. Down. The recurring episode with that would be me trying to ask you the same question for 10 episodes.
Yeah.
But that's going to be very, very fun. I'm going to be starting that hopefully in July after I get through some just ridiculous projects right now. And as you know, we got to wrap this up so we can go write some Ice Nine Kills with Spencer right now.
Mm-hmm. All right, dude. Well, thanks.
Nah.
I'll see you in a minute when I hit stop. All right, see ya.
All right, bye, man.
Hey friends, my name is Zach Lupitin. You may know me from the band Dust Bowl Revival, but I also host a music discovery podcast called The Show on the Road. For the last 5 seasons, I've been able to dive deep and have intimate chats with folks like the Lumineers, Ani DeFranco, Wolf Peck, Keb Moe, Lake Street Dive, Bela Fleck, and more. So guess what? After 150 conversations with some of my favorite songwriters from around the world, we are bringing brand new episodes to the Osiris Network. New interviews and intimate acoustic performances will be coming at you this summer. And which episodes are coming next, you ask? Good
morning. I am Zach Goody, the lead singer for the band Smash Mouth.
Our band is called Milky Chance. We are based in Berlin.
My name is David Shaw. I sing and write songs with my band, The Revivalists.
Trust me, these conversations go some wild places. So subscribe to The Show on the Road on Osiris, and we'll see you soon. Again.